We started preaching through Isaiah. I looked it up back in 2013, I think. And I knew that I would empty the church if I tried to preach through the whole of Isaiah all the way through. There'd be only one or two left afterwards. So what I decided to do was just do it in chunks, just to do a chunk and then do something else, another chunk, and do something else. And so now we've come to the very last chunk, Isaiah 56, and the last 11 chapters really go through to Isaiah 66. And my desire is that we might spend 7 weeks just looking at these last chapters of Isaiah, and they are actually very beautiful chapters. We saw a summary of Isaiah 1 to 39 on that video, and where what's happened so far is that Isaiah's been speaking about the judgment of God against his people because of their rebellion to him. They're turning away. And but as we look into these chapters that are ahead of us from Isaiah 56 onward, we are looking at, yes, some rebukes and, yes, some encouragements, but it's actually a time of the people, Isaiah speaking to the people who are in exile and are in prison and are suffering for their rebellion, and Isaiah now speaking to them words of hope for the future. They are a people that are waiting for salvation, and in that way they're similar to us, because we are a people waiting for the Lord to come. We're a waiting people, and they were awaiting people. So in this chapter that we're looking at this morning, the main theme is a theme of insiders and outsiders. And so and it's Isaiah speaking to the people of his day, but I'd like to do my best to show how the Lord is speaking to us this very day through an ancient word. I'm just going to pray a prayer and we'll look at it together. Lord, would you, O Ancient of Days, speak to us afresh, a new thing for our hearts to grasp. Lord, would you, by your word and your spirit, do what no man or woman can do, and that is bring hope and life and light to our hearts that has eternal weight and eternal glory for us this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I think all of us know that experience of being an insider or an outsider. I know definitely when I was a little kid, going to another family and staying there for a night or two and knowing that I wasn't an insider because it was a strange experience. I'd only ever known my family, and to go to another family, and they weren't directly trying to exclude me or anything, but I just knew that I wasn't part of what goes on in this world, and I knew I wasn't part of the affection that they were experiencing. But I also knew what it was to be part of my family, deeply part of my family, and totally secure, and knowing that if I wasn't there, my family actually wouldn't be like it is. I'm really part of this. And the Bible also talks about that experience of being an insider or an outsider. I'll tell you what I mean. In Genesis chapter 1, Adam and Eve were with God. They were insiders. They were deeply in his presence, and they knew what it was to be with God. But when sin and rebellion entered their hearts, they were cast out, right out of the garden. In actual fact, Genesis says that God put flaming, that God put angels with flaming swords to keep them out. I mean, there was this very clear distinction. You're either in or you're out. And when Noah built the ark, he and his family were in and they were safe. But those that were out were destroyed. There was this line of being in or out. You know, when God decided that he'd create for himself a nation, he called one man Abraham and he said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, and the nation, they will be my people and I will be their God. In other words, he was creating a nation of insiders. They're going to be mine. And all the other, out of all the nations of the earth, you are mine. Those others, they are outside. They're outside. And God gave them a mark of circumcision. So there's this physical, you're mine. And I want all the nations to know that you are mine. People that were not Jews, like most of us, not all of us, I don't think, but most of us, we're outside that original covenant that God had with a nation that were insiders. We were like foreigners to that covenant. You remember Moses gave the law, was given the law, and the law was put there so that these people, at least in part the reason was, that these people would be living in ways that were pleasing to God, they were doing what he desired, and their way of living, this, no one had ever dreamt up to have a Sabbath before, to actually put a day aside so that all life was centered now around the God of the universe. But all the what God was giving them was a call to live differently from the other nations, because you are a special people. You are my people. He gave them a tabernacle, a temple eventually, and that was the place where sacrifices would come and they could draw near. And the ultimate insider was the high priest, who could come into the very center of the Holy of Holies and be the ultimate insider, but not without blood. He would come in to be an insider. You might say that God was, what God was doing was making a people that were set apart for him. Foreigners, they could go on the outside, but they were definitely not allowed in. Eunuchs, a eunuch is a man that's unable to have children, to father children. Eunuchs were not allowed in. There were people that were excluded. And you might say that Israel's failure in the end, the total failure of Israel, you might say the way that Israel failed was that they failed to live distinct lives. They failed to be set apart from God, to be the very special people that God wanted. They started to, in God's language, started to commit adultery or prostitution with other gods. And God was calling. He said, I've given you this covenant. You are mine. You are so special to me. And you've failed because you're not distinct anymore. Now when we come to Isaiah 56, what we discover is Isaiah saying something that is really very shocking to all the Jews. And he says in verse 3, this is Isaiah speaking to these people long ago, something for the future. He's looking to the future. And this is what Isaiah says: let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Let no foreigner say that I'm an outsider. God is saying, In the future, outsiders are going to actually become insiders. And this would have shocked all the Jews, because right from the beginning of the whole nation, there was this distinction. There was this separation. They were God's people. They were the ones that had the law. They were the ones that were set apart. They were God's. And now Isaiah is saying something shocking to the people of Israel, where he's saying, let no foreigner say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. How can this be? How can all of the Bible be drawing these such severe distinctions between insiders and outsiders, and making it really, really clear and strong? How can it be that all of a sudden Isaiah is saying, I'm going to break down the barriers? Well, to answer that question, I really do think that we need to look back to one or two chapters before Isaiah 56, and that is Isaiah 53. And in Isaiah 53, there is predicted someone who is the servant. God calls this man a servant. Remember what it says about him. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. This is Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was predicted, was this prediction of a servant. And so this servant is predicted, and it is one of the most beautiful pictures and moving pictures of what God was going to do in Christ years in the future. Remember what Isaiah said. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crucified for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. God is saying a servant will come, and he'll be beaten and bruised, but not for his own sins, but for the sins of others. 700 years before Jesus appeared, Isaiah is saying there's one coming, superior and more glorious than any. And now people, because of what the servant has done in Isaiah 53, Isaiah in 56 is saying people that felt like they were far away, they were foreigners, they were outsiders, they could never come in and come close to God, now they're going to come in. Come in. Come in, and do not let the foreigner say, he who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. Because now the covenant, that promise that God had made to his people, and it was only for his people, now it is open. He's welcoming people like us, who are not descendants of Abraham, who are not part of the original covenant. He's opening the door for us to come in. It means that it's not anymore about who our parents are, or what background we come from, or what brokenness that we feel in our own selves. It means that it's about Christ. It says here in chapter 6, in verse 6, and the foreigners who bind themselves to me, to bind themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servant. So listen, the foreigners, not Jews, not Israelites, not the ones that are original covenant, but those, the foreigners, but what do? They bind themselves to the Lord. So it's not anymore about their performance or what they do or where they come from. It is about their relationship. It's about their love to minister to him and to love the name. Love the name. Do you know, I was just talking to someone this morning about the name of the Lord, and the Hebrews would not even pronounce the name of the Lord. It was so holy to them. They would write it, but they would never mention it because it was such a great name. But these foreigners are now coming in, binding themselves to God and loving the name. And there's promises here for those people. These I will bring to my holy mountain. So these I'll bring to my very presence. I'll bring them in and I'll give them joy in my house of prayer. Joy will fill their hearts. And this communication now with these foreigners, it'll be open for them. I'll give them joy in my house of prayer, and their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted at my altar. The altar is the central place, the most holy place. They'll be invited all the way in, right in to the very presence of God. He says something here to eunuchs as well. It says, "And let no eunuch complain, I'm only a dry tree." Remember, a eunuch is a man who cannot father children. So the man might say to himself, the thing that I treasure the most, family and those things that are most treasured, and especially in ancient world, I can't have. I'm a dry tree. But Isaiah is saying, I want to say something to you very, very clearly. Let no eunuch complain that I'm only a dry tree. Don't let them say, I'm robbed. I've got nothing. I'm always going to miss out in life. Don't let them say that. For this is what the Lord says. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose what pleases me, that hold fast to my covenant, those eunuchs who are doing what I love, who bind themselves to me in the same way as the foreigners, to them I will give within my temple and within its walls. They will come now. Excluded before, far, far away and could not come in, they will now come into my temple, into my very walls, into my presence. And I'm going to give them a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. Better than sons and daughters. And I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. Now listen, God's name is a holy name. It's a name that will endure forever. And what he's saying is, I'm going to give you eunuchs. Remember that what it says earlier in Isaiah, where Isaiah says, sing, barren woman, you who never bore any children. Similar idea. You might feel like you've totally missed out in this life. And God says, sing, barren woman. And to the eunuchs, I'm going to give you a name that is way, way better than sons and daughters. A memorial, an everlasting name that will endure forever. In other words, what these people don't have in the natural world, God is going to give them in the spiritual world. Now, let me just stop there and say, some of us, not having children is a reality. But for many of us, all of us, I would say, there are things in this world that are very, very painful for you, that you long for, that you just, it was your greatest treasure and it hasn't happened and it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And you're likely to say, Lord, why? Why that thing that I had so treasured? My life is going past and it's not happening. And the Lord is saying, listen, don't complain. You who come to me, because of the work of the servant, don't complain. Because I'm giving you something better, way, way, way better than anything that could be given in this world. For this is what the Lord says, the sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles from Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. I want to say something now. Because, yes, the covenant is open. But I want you to know that there's still a distinction. And it's a very, very clear distinction that God draws between those that are in and those that are out. When someone is baptized into Christ, they're in. They're in him. They're in Christ. And when they're out of Christ, they're out, and it's very, very serious. The in and the out still definitely are in place, but it is on the basis of a totally different covenant. The old covenant was to do with God's people. Who are you, a child of Abraham? Have you been circumcised? Are you brought in? But the new covenant is the covenant of Christ, where he dies on the cross and his arms are open wide, and we come in on the basis of a totally different covenant. On the basis that he has died. And now anyone can come. It doesn't matter what you've done wrong. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter what bodily dysfunction you have. It doesn't matter. It means that anyone can come. And they can come all the way in, even foreigners, even eunuchs, anyone that was previously excluded are now welcome in. But you've got to bind yourself to the Lord. You're not in if you don't bind yourself to the Lord, if you don't love his name, if you don't desire to minister to him. Christ is calling us. He's opening the arms and saying, will you come in? The door is now open. You might have thought, I'm so far away. I never thought that I would ever be able to come in. I thought that I would always be an outsider, that I would always be excluded from what God is offering. And God is saying, please don't say that. On the basis of what I've done, on the cross, because of Christ, I'm inviting you not just in, but I'm inviting you into my very presence, into my very arms, a name that will endure forever. God is gathering, it says here in this last verse that we're looking at. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel. So that's, okay, that's the exiles of Israel. The ones that are in Babylon, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. It's like what Jesus says. Do you remember Jesus saying, I've got sheep that are not of this flock, not of this fold, and they've got to come in as well. And God is right now gathering, like a farmer goes and gathers wheat and gathers it in and puts it in his silos. The Lord is gathering right across the earth now, and maybe this morning he's wanting to gather you into his arms. You might say, I never thought I would be allowed to come in. But God's saying, don't let the foreigners say, I'll be excluded. Don't let them say that. And don't let the eunuch complain that their life is got a disappointment, because everything is fulfilled now because of what the servant has done. I know that we are in a waiting time. Your lives, many lives here that no pain, no disappointment, no every kind of hardship. But the Lord is saying, look to the future and look and taste it right now, that his invitation for you is an invitation for you to drink now of what will be consummated, completed in a coming time. Don't be discouraged by hardship and pain and difficulty. Don't give up and think, ah, it's too hard. The Lord has got an intimate word for you. I'm bringing you right in. I'm making a promise to you that will never be broken. Walk with me, and you'll see that I'm going to give you rich, full blessings of being right in, an insider with God. So, will you respond to that? Because it does require a response for us to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I'm coming in. I don't deserve anything, but you have done your work. I'm coming in to receive your grace, your forgiveness and your love. I'm coming in. I'm going to bind myself to you and love your name. Yeah. We're going to sing, and as Linda comes, let's pray. Father, sometimes our hearts wander, but we want our hearts to come back to you now, to receive all that you are offering. Lord, you are not offering exclusion, but an invitation, unbelievable, that we could be yours, that we could enter into your covenant. Yeah, we praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.